Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on a Monday, June 14th. It is Flag Day, also the birthday of former President Donald Trump. So a lot of people celebrating patriotic things today, and we're going to talk about something as all-American as can be, and that is the Soapbox Derby. And it's been 17 straight years that the Quincy Derby has been run down the hill at North 18th Street. Used to be on the Tom Averkamp Bridge.
Yes.
But now you kind of do it backwards, don't you?
A little bit. The Tom Averkamp Bridge was a little steep for some of those kids.
You should have the junior, you know, the inexperienced ones go to the north and the experienced ones go to the north and the inexperienced ones kind of glide down from the south. But I guess that could cause some traffic problems.
It could, but if it gets large, keeps getting larger, we might have to do something like that.
I was going to say, I love that steepness of that hill. It is a little scary for the younger ones, but that's what it's all about. Don't try to put in a roundabout, though. That's totally good. If the kids could figure it out, though, I think we could. Well, let's talk about this, because it's Quincy Derby. Are we allowed to say Soapbox Derby, or is that a licensed, copyrighted
infringement? It's copyrighted, and we no longer are affiliated through the copyright, the legal stent of the Soapbox name, and because of that, so Soapbox Derby is in Akron, Ohio, and you can buy your cars from them and everything, so they want that title, and we don't pay the licensing fees for that anymore. It was a pretty hefty expense.
But do our kids go on to Akron, or is that on their own dime if they want to?
Yeah, they can. We don't send kids to Akron as an affiliation of Soapbox, but most of the kids here, the people that are maybe going to other races, they would do that through a different race. So this is an independent Soapbox race, but not a true licensed Soapbox.
It's the Giant Pinewood Derby. We'll call it that. How's that? Now, but are the car qualifications the same? In other words, is there if I have a Pinewood, I know that's Boy Scouts, a little bitty ones, but if I have the large Derby car, is it the same specifications if I'm racing in Akron as I'm racing in Quincy?
Yeah, we keep the same specifications.
So you could do a circuit. If you got a kid that really liked that, you could go around and do a whole circuit.
Yeah, if your car was racing in our race, it would be the same as if it was racing in a Soapbox race somewhere else. We just aren't paying for those licensing fees.
You cheapies. Okay, well, now that we've established, see, Aiden's in the financial world. Aiden McDonald. So, I mean, I could see that people like Aiden and Ray say, really? We don't think so. We're just going to keep the money and use it for our local kids.
Well, exactly. The reason we did that was we looked at the hefty fine and said, well, this can go back to the community. Why would we, you know, we can still host the race without the name and keep it the Quincy Derby. So
the
that's
Quincy
what we did.
Quincy Derby.
Yeah.
And it is the weekend of June 18th and 19th,
correct,
traditionally on Father's Day weekend. Same weekend. This kind of precedes Little People's. Little People's golfers come in on Father's Day and do a tournament. So it's a big time for kids.
It is. It is.
A couple weekends ago was Carters and Fishermen, and now it's Derby Box Car Drivers and golfers are in.
Little People's, correct.
So it's the largest double elimination tournament in the country and the second largest derby running all four box car classes. So the Quincy Derby is enormous and is huge.
Yes.
And let's talk about, it's probably too late to enter. If you don't have your car put together by now, building one at this point is going to be tough, right?
Yeah, so the club builds, we have 126 cars this year, and we are maxed out at that for the Saturday race, which is June 19th. So we are full. But on Friday, that's the Super Kids race. And the Super Kids is a race for kids with special abilities of all kinds. Any need that your kid might have, if they feel maybe it's a physical area that they're not able to participate in normal sports, we'd love to have them come and attend. And so registration for that is still open through Wednesday. And so that race is on Friday, June 18th. And again, that's if you have a child or you know somebody who has a disability of any kind, we are keeping registration open at QuincySuperKids.com. And then our Facebook page has those signups to Quincy Derby.
The great thing about that is a child may be blind, a child may be deaf, a child may be confined to a wheelchair, but they can get in the car and
steer,
and they can go with a person helping them,
a buddy driver. Yeah.
And some kids might have autism and be on that spectrum.
Right.
And so if your child, just under normal circumstances, wouldn't be able to fully compete in Derby cars, that's okay.
Right.
They can still have fun and do the course on Friday.
Correct.
And get the thrill of crossing the finish line and winning and all the other stuff that goes along with that.
You got that. Right. We got we have Super Kids champions. Super Kids was started in 2015 by Ray Wilson. And we have those champions. We get pictures almost every year of a kid sleeping with their trophy after they win, you know, sleeping with their medals. It's a big deal, and it's a special day for those kids and families, too, because it's a day dedicated only to them. The meals are provided. Hy-Vee donates a lot of those meals. And our title sponsor, Advanced Physical Therapy, helps make that possible. And then QMG is a major sponsor with Home Depot. Both QMG and Home Depot help make building of the cars possible. Home Depot provided the materials, and our club members actually built these cars to spec. And it's a pretty amazing community event when you think about it.
Yeah, the Super Kids event. It has been going on now for many years, and I think a lot of people want to come out on Friday morning. Don't wait till the weekend. The weekend will be exciting, but get your lawn chairs and line North 18th Street.
Correct.
And cheer for these Super Kids, because to them, this is kind of like Special Olympics.
Correct.
It's important to them. It's real to them. It is real.
Mm-hmm.
They are competing.
They are.
They're going to, you know, be applauded whether they finish last or first.
Yep.
The great thing about it is it's kind of the great equalizer, because there is some skill involved with driving, obviously, when you get really good at it.
Sure.
The way your momentum and your weight and the way you shift and everything, you're really precise. It's like bobsledding.
Yes.
You don't. Anybody can bobsled. Just get on it and go down the hill.
Yeah.
You're going to bobsled.
Not everyone can win in bobsled.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but not everybody can win. And the same way with the derby car. You're going to go down the hill.
Yep.
But it's just the thrill of going that fast.
Yeah.
And having that feeling that, you know, you're doing something that is really great for these super kids.
It is, and to have the buddy driver helps give them confidence. And then apart from, you know, it's good to have a champion. It's good if you can win first, second, or third, but it's really about friendship. And the buddy driver system allows us to maybe have these kids interact with people they wouldn't normally. And these buddy drivers are seasoned drivers. They usually race the next day, and they've usually been racing several years. And they actually have an override system on the steering system.
Like the driver's ed car?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can still sit along the side of the road. You will not get run over, yeah.
Yeah, and the steering wheels are padded, and we have holsters. We have the safety belts for the kids. And so it is a safe event, and the smile on these kids' faces. If you come out on race day and you see these super kids smile like they will, you'll want to jump in and volunteer, and we would love that.
What's the age group for Super Kids, and how can they register?
Yeah, Super Kids is anywhere from 6 to 21, and registration is on QuincySuperKids.com, and then again on our Facebook page, Quincy Derby. They can also reach out to me on a phone call, 217-653-3027.
Wow, that's great. And how many Super Kids can you handle?
Right now we have 75 Super Kids. We have groups coming over from Springfield, Illinois, actually, to race in this. And I think we have a few kids coming down from Iowa. So it's, you know, kind of a tri-state event, too.
It's growing.
It's
and people
growing.
Are learning about it, and they think it's fantastic. And, I mean, I probably a lot of them will take some of this knowledge and take it back home and maybe have their own event, which would be just fine and dandy with you.
And that one of the groups, we have groups of racers coming from Springfield, but we also have actually clubs from, I think, Decatur and Springfield as well. They're coming, staying the night in Quincy this weekend. They want to see this race and see if they can host something like this for Super Kids in other areas. And it would be tough to do, because you really need the Quincy Optimist Club to do that.
Yeah, the Optimist, you guys serve youth, and I love it. Optimist, optimistic, always looking forward, looking for the betterment of the community, looking for putting a smile on people's faces, looking for, you know, solving the world's problems one smile at a time, one
sharing
kid at
joy.
A time, yeah,
yes.
To just get out and enjoy. So this will be fantastic. There's no admission as far as spectators, right?
No admission. Come out and watch. And
they built a new parking lot for you, too, the Park District.
The Park District did.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, we always blocked off their other parking lot there at Bob May. So now we are keeping that lane open, so if anyone's out there listening and they're wanting to use Bob May's Park, you can use that new parking lot. We will leave that open, and we've
and
coordinated that with the park
access district. The park there, and of course you can also park along the sides of the street and on yep. Cook's Lane and just walk in with your wheelchair and find a place either near the start or the finish line, yep. whatever you like, or in the middle. It doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, go on a run on the cleaner trail and then stop and watch some races and see these kids smile. It's truly an event.
The Optimist are friends of youth, and this special Super Kids race starts at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday. So, again, get there, get your lawn chairs out, cheer for every single one of the kids.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about, do they wear a special T-shirt, or what do they do to be a driver? You know, because
yeah.
race car drivers got all the cars usually have sponsors,
yeah.
logos,
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff on them. How do the kids get into
Our
this?
Super kids get a free T-shirt on that race day, and we found these kids through QMG, who's, again, a major sponsor, has helped link a lot of these kids to us to get them registered. To make this happen. And so the kid, we provide bicycle helmets, they get the T-shirt, and if you're first, second, or third, you get a trophy or a medal. And we used to do medals, but we had issues with supply lines this year, and so go figure. And we didn't do Super Kids in 2020
right.
due to COVID, so this is we did do the race day, but not Super Kids, just out of safety concerns.
Sure.
So
this is back. It is back and bigger and better than ever. On Saturday, they are full. They
yes.
have 126 cars competing, and that is their full capacity.
Yep.
And it's going to be the stock car, the super stock car, and the master car classes. That is on Saturday, and that starts at 9 a.m. as well.
Yep.
And usually, what time does it wrap up?
Usually, it wouldn't be later than 3 p.m.
Okay.
Typically, I mean, if the race, something got held up, but I tell you what, this
is... It's rain or shine?
It's rain or shine, absolutely. And we have such seasoned members and people who have managed this race that... It runs like clockwork. It's something to behold, really. The behind the scenes it's fun chaos. It's organized chaos.
Organized chaos. And, I mean, because these cars, they're not that light.
No.
I mean, they're pretty heavy, and you've got to get them up.
Yep.
And get them on the track.
And
then
we do that.
They're held in place, and then the thing drops,
and they all go. Yes.
It's gravity driven. There's no motor on them.
No motor. And that's a stock car weighs 125 pounds, a super stock weighs 150 pounds, and then a master's car weighs 155 pounds. And, again, this goes back to the complexities of the race, but we actually have weights that are cut out to fit in the cars for the kids. And they came in, we had inspection day 2 weeks ago, and so the kids and their parents came in. We fitted them to the car, adjusted the brakes if we needed to, and then made sure all the cars weighed the same. So, depending.
So the car has to weigh the same,
correct.
But the driver doesn't have to meet it.
Correct.
Not like a jockey. Okay.
No. Uh-uh.
So does a fat kid have an advantage? Is this one sport where being fat
well,
is more gravity?
Well, that's where we would just put less weight in the car.
Oh,
and
really?
Then, yeah. But
so the car and the driver do have to weigh.
Yeah, we coordinate it, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so I thought maybe it was just the car had
no.
to weigh, but it is like a horse and jockey.
Yeah.
The jockey has to weigh so much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where we, that's where like a stock car is for usually a smaller, lighter kid, 125 pounds of max weight. And so we do have sometimes young kids who have outgrown their car previously. And, you know, the age ranges for this is typically 7 years to 18 years old to race. But if you're 16 years old and you weigh 280 pounds, we're not
yeah.
going to be able to get
That's
you in.
That's right. If you had a celebrity division, I'd be just four wheels and just me on a bucket. But that's okay. That would be kind of fun sometimes.
You know, we're talking
You'd
about it. There's,
really
there's some things
have.
In the works here, Mary, that next year you might have to have us back
I
on.
I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, we're looking at a few things that we could do to do some big
that would be really fun.
Corporate cars, yeah.
17 straight years of the Quincy Derby is set to roll on. It'll be Friday for the Super Kids. Everybody get out and watch that. That'll be great. Just bring your lawn chairs down there to North 18th Street.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to get there? Do you want to drive? I mean, do you want to drive up over Tom Aberkamp Bridge, or is it blocked
no,
before
that?
No,
be,
so you have to come in around on Cook
yeah,
Lane.
Yeah, Aberkamp coming from the north, or south, excuse me, would be the worst way. Coming off maybe Cook's Lane parking and then dropping down from the north, or coming off Quintron Way in that industrial park, that's where most of the people will
that's
park.
Where most people park
yeah.
because it's not heavily trafficked.
Correct.
And
there's
you know,
some empty parking lots.
And there are
Saturdays.
Empty parking lots
yeah.
there, and so it's a nice little walk and everything like that. Okay, so starts Friday morning at 9 for the Super Kids race, and then Saturday at 9 with 126 cars, the maximum capacity. It is the largest double elimination tournament in the country and the second largest derby with all the classes. And, again, it's double elimination, so the kids get a second chance. It's always nice to have a little bit of redemption.
And that's I was going to say that earlier when you were talking about the super kids racing down. And so in both days is double elimination. So if a kid, you know, maybe they're a rookie driver and their first race wasn't exactly how they wanted, well, you get a second chance. And that's a big deal for an event this complex and all that goes into it. To have these kids have two chances to race, it does mean a lot to them and the parents, too.
Well, because you really can't practice on the track.
No.
There is no way to replicate exactly what's going to happen that day. So
exactly.
It's kind of like being a marathon runner.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to run 26 miles, but you don't know if it's going to be uphill, you know.
Yep.
So on these, you know, stock car, yeah, the car's the same, but the incline, if you go to practice, it's going to be completely different.
Yep.
Unless
you're
come
absolutely
out and
right.
Block off North 18th,
and
it's just not going to happen.
It's one of those things in racing where you kind of forget the intricacies that can go into having a champion, winning the race, and all those. I mean, and especially in something like this, a non-motorized race, the slightest turn on the steering wheel, the steering column, can really put you off course
right.
fast. And
yeah.
Keeping those kids straight, you know, just hold it straight and don't get nervous coming off the track. That's where most of the kids get a little nervous and shaky. Because that track on that race day gets... If you're up there and it's your first year racing, it's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
And we give rookie drivers, they get a chance to go down the race as a practice run. They
right.
get halfway down the track and get used to hitting the brake and things like that.
I can see why Tom Averkamp Bridge would be
a little too steep.
Advanced.
Yeah.
Do that for the celebrity.
Yeah.
We need to be scared. 9:32 our time. Thank you to Aidan McDonald for being here today. The Optimist Club of Quincy and many others, including Home Depot, Hy-Vee, and others, are making this happen. The 17th annual Quincy Derby. Father's Day weekend. It's Friday and Saturday. It starts at 9:00 on North 18th at Cook's Lane. So get out, get your lawn chair, and become a spectator and cheer them on.
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, and a special thanks to Advanced Physical Therapy, title sponsor, Home Depot, and QMG, of course.
Okay, Advanced Physical Therapy, Hy-Vee, QMG.
Home Depot. Yep, we're there.
Okay, I'll write that down, and I'll never forget it.
There
Thank
we go.
You so much.
Thanks, Mary. Have a great day.
The Quincy Park Band with John Philip Sousa's The Stars and Stripes Forever on this Flag Day. And my goodness, we have an American flag right here in the WT80 Radio Ranch in the form of dairy products. We have white milk, chocolate milk, and, well, the red got a little bit faded in strawberry milk. But we've got red, white, and blue milk here. Thank you for bringing red, white, and blue milk for Flag Day, Jill.
You are welcome. I didn't even realize it was Flag Day, actually, but it's also Dairy Month, so
it's a great time
to celebrate.
A great time to celebrate, and on a hot, hot day like today, we talk a lot about hydration, and really, milk is one of those super hydrators for folks who have been out working in the garden or out being a construction worker or just out maybe taking the dog for a walk. A great way to rehydrate is with dairy products and milk.
Yeah, that's true. Milk does contain some water as well, and so it is a good way to rehydrate. It's also a great way to refuel even after you exercise because it's a good source of protein. So if you're especially chocolate milk even is a really good combination of carbohydrates and protein. If you're refueling after a workout, it's a great way to do
that. Good recovery.
Yeah.
June is dairy month. Why? I mean, we drink milk products all year long. Why is June dairy month?
But we do need a whole month to really celebrate those dairy products, right? Well, June originally started back in 1937. So we've been celebrating for an awfully long time, but years ago, milk production would be higher in the summer months when the cows would graze on the pastures. So they were looking for a way to kind of, you know, promote milk and get people to drink more milk in those months so it didn't go to waste. So they started celebrating Dairy Month, and it's just been a monthly celebration thereafter. And it's really a great time to, number one, I love to celebrate the dairy farmers because I think mm-hmm. they're just so important. They're such hard workers. I mean, it's one of the only jobs that they have to work 365 days a year.
Yeah.
Cows have to be milked every single day. So they are such hard workers, but also it's as a dietitian and nutrition educator, it's a great time to just remind people that dairy foods play a really important role as a part of a healthy diet. There's so many nutrients and things that it provides for us.
You know, with our supply chain problem with JBS, had nothing to do with the milk industry, but some costs are going up. They're talking about how there's been inflation in the food chain, you know, and what people are paying at the store. Have we seen milk prices go up because it's an alternate protein source then, or is milk pricing fairly stable for the consumer?
Milk pricing has been fairly stable for the consumer, and actually, if you're comparing to other alternative beverages that are on the market, milk is generally, you know, quite a bit lower in price and more a better value than some of those other alternative beverages.
Yeah, like I mean, I love my Pepsi products, but gallon for gallon, milk is cheaper.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously, you should be feeding your children more milk than Pepsi products. But I mean, again, it's a sometime treat, as they say. But a lot of kids, you've been fighting this for years now with, you know, I'm drinking my, you know, Pepsi beverage today. I don't know. It's blue. It's that's not a natural coloring, but it's got a caffeine boost, and it's supposedly got zinc and all this stuff in it. So it's supposedly quasi healthy for me. But the milk industry is really fighting this nutritional thing because kids just aren't choosing fluid milk as much. And really, it's a wonderful treat for kids.
Yeah, I think there's a perception out there that other beverages that are pretending to be milk are, you know, healthier possibly than milk. Or, and really, so this month at the St. Louis District Dairy Council, we're doing a Dare to Compare challenge where we're really telling people to compare in lots of different ways your other alternative beverages to milk, and not only compare the nutrition labels and the price, but the taste is number one for me. I mean, they just don't measure up to the taste of milk, and you know.
And where are we in keeping them from saying it's almond milk or soy milk? Has the Dairy Council won that battle, or can I still say I'm drinking almond milk or soy milk? Because that word milk implies it came from a cow or a goat or something that you squeezed with your hands.
It is quite confusing. Yeah, and you know that. That is the true definition, the FDA definition of milk, is that it came from an animal. But in the United States, there, you know, they have not created laws yet to say that things cannot be labeled as milk. You know, so in other countries, in Canada, in parts of Europe and things like that, they just call them, you know, almond beverage or things like that.
So they take took the milk out of it.
And I think it's confusing for consumers because they don't understand, you know, what they're thinking, that it's
mixed
with
milk, like,
or maybe
it's flavored
milk.
Yeah,
they don't really understand what.
So
exactly,
you know, again,
it is.
If you choose those things, that's fine, but they are not milk.
Right. I'm not saying, you know, they could have a place in a healthy diet as well.
And so what's the big trending thing? You know, I mean, obviously you brought me my strawberry milk today. I just love my strawberry milk. Chocolate milk, regular milk. A lot of times, you know, when I drink whole milk now, it's like drinking syrup. I mean, I'm so used to drinking fat-free milk. That's
right.
Just become part of my, because I do need the calcium. I need the vitamin D. I need the nutrition. I don't need the fat. So, you know, fat-free milk, people say, oh, ugh. But you've got to get used to it.
You do.
It's like anything else. Just start out, go half whole and half 2%, and then do 2%, and then do 2% and 1%, and then just wean yourself down to fat-free. And the greatest thing about fat-free is it's cheaper.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I grew up drinking fat-free milk. My mom was kind of a health nut when we were growing up, and so I just always, I didn't really know anything else. And I'm the same way with whole milk now, where it's like, I don't really drink it, you know, because I like the taste of lower fat milk, but I do like to put whole milk in my coffee because I just feel like it makes it so much creamier. Or with cooking and
around Thanksgiving
like that.
Time, you got to have the cream and the whole milk. Oh yeah, they got to have the whole milk. That's
for sure.
How do you dare to compare? You talked about like cottage cheeses and different kinds of cheeses, and some, you know, some people say that dairy in general just isn't good for you, and a lot of people go on a dairy-free diet. How is the Dairy Council fighting that? Because our dairy farmers, you know, provide this locally grown product. We had a few supply chain issues early on because people were making runs on milk.
Right.
And the dairy farmers were quick to come out and say, look, our cows are giving the same amount of milk every day. You can't hoard it because they can't give twice as much today. You know, we don't keep them in the parlor twice as long. That's not how it works.
Yes.
So I think people have been educated that dairy is always available on a regular schedule because the cow is going to give it 365.
Yep, it's going to give it all the time. And, you know, like you were saying about health conscious people, milk is consistent as well with, we have those 13 essential vitamins and minerals that are in milk, you know, things like vitamin D, calcium that help with our bone health, potassium, there's B vitamins in milk. There is zinc that helps with our immune system and selenium. Iodine is going to help during pregnancy with cognitive and brain development. So it really helps with, you know, on almost every single aspect of our body, from our brain to our blood to our bones. And it's a great source of protein, so 8 grams of protein per cup. And that's whether you're getting skim, 1%, 2% whole milk. Those vitamins and minerals are going to be in every glass of milk. You're
so
just
you can get
the
rid of the
fat. Yeah.
You can decrease the fat, but you keep the same protein content, all the same trace minerals.
And lactose-free milk as well has those same vitamins and minerals. It's just without the lactose. So,
have they invented a cow now that gives a special isn't there one?
There is.
There
actually,
is. Yeah.
Yes. There is. There are some breeds of cows that produce, that's called that A2 milk, where, you know, it
doesn't have, something's missing that lactose intolerant people can eat that.
Exactly. Right. Yep. And it is a certain breed of cow. So a lot of cows, you know, now farmers are going to that type of cow.
Well, there'll be a specialized market for that. And,
yes,
and wonderful
exactly.
that those people can enjoy milk. But there again, that's all research.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Dairy Council is all about. I mean, my dad was born and raised on a dairy farm, Griffith Milk. And you milk the cow by hand and drove the horse-drawn wagon and delivered it and everything, you know. So things have changed now immensely. There is no such thing as the Griffith Dairy anymore. My dad said, I could be a news reporter and sit down and look into a camera rather than work hard. Because that's just it. 365, seven
it's
days a week, every
job.
Day.
And dairy farmers are disappearing. You know, it's very sad. Just a lot of, you know, the next generation doesn't necessarily want to take over their dairy farms. And so, you know, they're going away and every year there's less dairy farms. But it is a hard job.
And yet specialty farm to fork, it's interesting because there's still that niche market there for some local dairy people who are selling, highly prized milk for certain cheeses or certain things.
Right.
So there's a way for dairy farmers to, I think a lot of them have got to get out of the wholesale fluid milk business and get into more like value added things like making their own cheese. That's how they're staying alive.
And,
right?
And a lot of farmers have done that. But you know, what people need to remember too is when you're buying milk in the grocery store, milk is a local food. It's coming from a local farm. There's farms that are near Quincy, Illinois that, you know, your milk is coming from because milk is perishable. It goes from the farm to the grocery store within 2 days. So, you know, you're getting it from somewhere that's nearby. And it's not really marketed that way, but it truly is a local
food.
Because
it's not, because we talk about Wisconsin and California cows and how happy they are. But the chances that any of that milk you got me this morning from Hy-Vee, the red, white, and blue milk, came from a California cow is highly doubtful, right? It would just
it
be too
absolutely
long.
Absolutely did not.
Did not. So our Illinois, Missouri, and Iowa cows are happy too and drink their milk.
That's right.
Jill Williams, good to see you again in
good
person.
To
thank
see
you.
You
it's
person.
Milk and cookies
so
for everybody at WTAD today. Thanks to the Dairy Council. Thank you so very much. And remember, support your local dairy farmer. Buy that local milk product right there in your case. And if you're afraid your kids are drinking too much milk, there's no such thing. There's other things they can be drinking too much
That's
of,
right.
but they really
be okay.
can't be drinking too much milk.
Build those bones.
Coming back, we're going to talk about a bags tournament or cornhole or whatever you want to call it. We need to find a better name because bags and cornhole both really stink. So maybe our next guest will come up with something really trendy and chic. Leave it to her. She'll do it. As the Quincy Park Band plays on this Flag Day, we talk about something as all-American as apple pie and baseball and hot dogs, and that is a cornhole tournament. Saturday, June 26th at Payson, Illinois South Park. The bags fly at noon, and there's a cash payout for first and second place. And joining me today is Heather Brown Ford, and she is part of the Payson Old Settlers Association. And this is just one of the many activities you have year-round to kind of raise money
yes.
for your big festival. So tell us all about it, please.
This is our first annual, and this is kind of my husband's baby. So it's a cornhole tournament. Everybody plays it in the summertime, and I'm like you. I'm not a real big fan of the title of it.
Bags,
or throwing
cornhole,
bags.
Yeah.
There needs to be something more. But I know it's very popular in this area. I'm fairly okay at it. I'm not going to say I'm great. But it's something fun to do for the community. We're trying to do stuff differently for fundraising. And 100% of all of the profits go into our town picnic, which we're proud to say is going to go full steam ahead. And we were kind of in that trajectory anyway, and now we know that we can do it. So it's just it's a fun way for the younger ones as well, or even the middle-aged ones like us who like to, you know, drink some adult beverages and toss some bags. Might as well make some money and raise some money for a good cause.
Well, the great thing is you can pre-register at Payson, Payson Old Settlers, Old Settler Association events.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. But there'll be hamburgers and hot dogs and chips and beverages. You mm-hmm. have to be 18, but you can bring your own cooler, no glass.
Right.
Sponsored by KZZK.
That's right. I wonder why.
Could it be because Heather is the voice of our
yes.
sister station with the pretty little bow in its hair? Only it doesn't have a pretty little bow in its hair. It's rock.
Yeah, it's got a spiky collar.
It's got spiky collar mm-hmm. and spiked hair. So it's very simple. Saturday, June 26th. Now, do you even have room left for teams?
We have some room.
Okay.
We have some people that are wanting to do multiple teams. That is fine. This is simply for charity, so it's the more the merrier. We want to make this an annual event, sometime maybe a biannual, depending on the interest, and maybe do more teams next time. But this is, you know,
the
initial launch of it. So we are still taking teams to register at PaysonOSAEvents.com, or you can also go to our Facebook page. And excited to say, within the next week, we're going to have a website as well. So we'll be all official and pretty, and you can get all of our events and flyers and any information that you would need about Payson Old Settlers.
Now, Payson Old Settlers, I mean, obviously, it's an homage to the people who came here and celebrated and settled Payson, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a very proud Payson
yes.
woman, and a lot of people who live in Payson. My brother and sister-in-law live there. My brother-in-law and
mm-hmm.
sister-in-law, they love Payson.
Yes.
Payson is a remarkable community, and it's going to stay remarkable only if it continues to do things like this to draw people
right.
to the community, because you're hoping that people will come to Payson that day on Saturday, June 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Bags fly at noon. Nice
yeah.
park setting, nice shady trees, you know.
Oh, it's a gorgeous park.
It's a great place to hang out.
My husband is a good chef, and he's going to be the one, you know, doing the burgers. Him and Nathan Chapman are going to be doing all the cooking and stuff. And we've been lucky to have donations from K-Brick Food and from Dot Foods. And we actually, Hannibal YMCA is donating the actual, you know, sets for us to use for the tournament. So we've been very fortunate with that. But, again, it's all to keep our small community flourishing. You know, we got to keep with it. And it's the tradition. It's the 127th annual one that we're going to have in August. We need young blood. We need people in there. I'm the president. I'm 45. So I got some years left in me, but, you know, we have some other members that
socks older than you are. But yeah,
but you know what
but
I mean?
No,
but
you're right.
It's we need the participation. And I got to tell you, we have a new person in charge of our pageants. Her name is Hannah Klingel. She is amazing. She's, I mean, maybe 20 if she's lucky, but she is doing some outstanding things with our pageants. We do still need some junior Miss contestants. We got a lot of queen ones, but we need just a few. So if you have a 6th to 8th grade girl who is in the Payson School District, you can definitely shoot us a message on the Facebook, or even if you know who I am, you can send me a message as well. Or we have phone numbers out there and flyers. We put them everywhere out there. So we just need a few more to make this an even bigger event, because we're wanting it. You know, we've been down a year with the pandemic, so we want it to come back bigger and better. And we're going to do a trivia contest, and I'm sure I'll talk to you next month about
absolutely.
That as well.
When quickly is Payson Old Settlers?
It is August 6th and 7th this year.
Okay, so it doesn't compete with the Knights of Columbus barbecue. It's a nice event. Everybody can go
to
it.
We try to squeeze in between all the other stuff.
Right.
County fairs and stuff like that.
Get out. Get involved. And the cornhole tournament is Saturday, June 26th. They're limiting it to 20 teams. Mm-hmm. And the cash payout for first place is how much?
That's to be determined on how many teams we have. Okay. Yes. And again, this is my husband's brainchild. I should make him come in here.
He's the one that does the math.
Yeah.
You play the rock and roll, he does the math.
Yeah. I do a lot of the organizing behind that. But it's going to be fun, and it's just something different. That's what we're wanting to do, something different besides your normal fundraisers, something community involved, and to get people out in our parks and doing stuff.
Well, let's face it. Some people are really great at this game. You can play it, though, if you've never played it before.
Right.
I mean, the concept is you throw a bag into a hole.
You toss it into a hole, you have some adult beverages, you have a good time with the other people in your community. And it's not just limited to people from Payson. It can be anybody who wants to participate in a fun tournament. It's all going toward our, you know, community picnic. So 100% of anything we raise always goes right back into the community.
Okay, folks, register for the Cornhole Tournament, Saturday, June 26th at Payson South Park. $40 per team, cash payout for first and second place. And you can register at the Payson Old Settlers Facebook page. And don't forget, the Old Settlers Picnic is August 6th and 7th. So you'll definitely want to be around for that. And if you've got a 6th, 7th, or 8th grade girl who wants to be part of the Junior Miss,
Be some royalty.
It's a chance to be queen for a day. I mean, why should I be the only one who gets to be queen for a day? Heather Brown Ford, my coworker. Her office is right across from mine. You won't believe the trouble we get into off the air, but we have a good time. We run this place. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, we do.
Thank you.